Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Again, Ephesians 6, starting at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Verses 1 through 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. Then moving to Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses, again, that was Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 10 through 20. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read and meditate on your word. Thank you for the blessed privilege we have of being able to take your word, which is the sword of the Spirit, and to grow in our understanding of how to use it skillfully as the powerful spiritual weapon that it is. Help us to recognize, Lord, in a much greater way that, like it or not, every day we face spiritual warfare, and it's important for us to be skillful warriors who are using our weapons wisely and fruitfully, putting them to work daily and walking in victory as we do so. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word, and thank you for the wonderful gift of prayer. Thank you for the wonderful gift of faith and the chance to put them all to work daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we come to you today and we praise your holy name. We lift high your name today. You are such a wonderful God, a stooping God, a God who leans down and impacts the lives of sinners like us. Thank you for that great mercy that you show us day by day. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your precious Son, who came from the glory and wonder and majesty of heaven to live on this earth, to die for us. What a mercy, what a kindness, Father. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. And you may recall that on a pretty regular basis, we encourage believers to set a goal to start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. And, you know, I don't believe I have the ability to overemphasize how important a habit like that really can be. I want to take a moment to share. It was actually a news story that was shared by One News Now, and it was about a research, and the story was drawn from some research about the importance of Bible reading. I'm going to take a moment specifically to read it, and the article is entitled Research: Read Bible Every Day and You'll Grow, Grow, Grow. Many people have resolved to read their Bible more often this year, and research shows why they might want to stick with that goal. According to researchers at the Center for Bible Engagement, the life of someone who engages Scripture 4 or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. In fact, the lives of Christians who do not engage the Bible most days of the week are statistically the same as the lives of non-believers, researchers say. Someone who engages the Bible four times or more times a week is 228% more likely to share faith with others, 407% more likely to memorize Scripture, 59% less likely to view pornography, and 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. It's a very interesting study. Scott Lindsay of Faith Life, the parent company of Logos Bible Software, told the Washington Watch program with Tony Perkins. Feeling lonely dropped 30%. Anger issues dropped 32%. Bitterness in relationships dropped 40%. Alcoholism dropped 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant or distant from the Lord dropped 60%. Thousands of people across various ages, nations, and denominations were included in the research. Bible reading once, twice, and three times a week was not found to have the same impact. So again, a very interesting news story, again entitled Research, Read Bible Every Day and You'll Grow. A powerful and hopefully encouraging article, encouraging you to read the Word of God every day and reminding you that the habit of reading three chapters every day will bless your life in ways you and I don't fully comprehend. Well, today on the broadcast specifically, we're wanted to talk with you about the Ten Commandments Pro-Life Speech Contest, and I've shared some about that, but I want to share with you more about this, and I want you to keep in mind that one of our goals is, remember, this is an important discipleship project to help our children both come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, but help them to begin to grow and grow strong in their walk with the Lord. I want to briefly share with you this article, and then we're going to get a chance to listen to some speeches as shared by young people that participated in our first speech contest that we had last year. But this article initially is simply entitled, and of course, if you want to get a copy, you certainly can email us and get a copy. But this article is entitled, Introducing the Pro-Life Speech Contest. Again, the Ten Commandments Project, Introducing the Pro-Life Speech Contest. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And then Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Ten Commandments Project is a powerful tool to help believers and the church reach out to children and youth in our world and culture. By the power and promise of God's Word, it can really make a difference. In addition, we are holding a Ten Commandments speech contest. This project is used to both share the good news of Jesus Christ with youth and to disciple them with one of the most fruitful and powerful teaching tools in all of the Word of God. In our world, which seems to be set on fire by the kingdom of darkness, the genuine answer is the powerful water of the Word of God. John chapter 4, verse 14, John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, Ephesians 5, 26, and Isaiah 55, 1. The Ten Commandments are found in full in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. They share God's moral law, His great wisdom, and provide insight for living a life that honors God. My wife, Bertie, and I have had the privilege of helping to lead this project in our community for a few years, and it's been both an exciting and rewarding journey. Should God call you to do this too, you'll see how fun and beautiful a project it really, really is, a tool helping to affect children in some wonderful ways. The American Family Association is interested in helping to cast a vision for other believers, churches, and groups that would be interested in doing the Ten Commandments Project or a similar one in their own community. We can be reached at faq@afa.net or jparker@afa.net and mention my name or call my number that's mentioned in the last paragraph. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11 tell us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. How it works. Here's the basic approach we've used to lead this project. We take around a six-week period of time to meet once a week with a group of children and or youth. We've worked with children from elementary grades through high school in various venues like local churches and Boys and Girls Clubs. Those clubs have been key venues in two different cities in our in the state of Mississippi. We share the gospel with the children each week and invite them to receive Christ, and we teach biblical truths that relate to the Ten Commandments. We ask each child or youth to memorize the short form of the Ten Commandments as seen below. Upon memorizing all of them, each child will receive a free T-shirt with the Ten Commandments printed on the back. The shirt is a great witnessing tool also. Well, the Ten Commandments in short form are these. You shall have no other gods before me. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourself any graven images. Number three, you shall not use God's name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and mother. Six, you shall not murder. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. Eight, you shall not steal. Nine, you shall not tell lies. 10, you shall not covet. When a youth is ready to recite the Ten Commandments from memory, he or she does it before their peers in this group setting. Some may not get all 10 on the first try, but typically most have not done it on the first try. Also, when a youth is standing before his or her peers attempting to recite all 10 commandments, they're actually drilling each other on the 10 commandments. During the 6 weeks, we take the time to teach the youth the meaning and importance of each commandment. We use movie clips and music videos as critical teaching tools to help teach the truths behind each of the 10 commandments. The video tools actually help to draw them into a discussion about insights behind each of the commandments. It's been a very fruitful and rewarding journey since we began this project a few years ago. We see it as a great way to begin to plant the life-changing Word of God in the hearts of our children. Also, it's clearly a proactive way to both carry out the Great Commission among our youth and to fight and protect them against many of the tragic ways and tools the enemy uses to try to pull them into darkness. A project such as this or the one above helps the church to be on the offensive during doing the work of God. The Ten Commandments become a tool to do spiritual battle with the kingdom of darkness. Now, here specifically, the Ten Commandments Project, the Pro-Life Speech Contest. We're asking each participant to write a speech or have someone help them to write a speech based on the commandment, "You shall not murder." It can be on the importance of standing for life and against abortion, or on the topic of standing for life and against euthanasia. We suggest it be 3 to 5 minutes, although any length is welcome. Also, please use your cell phone or any other means that will work for you to record the speech. Send the recording to faq@afa.net or to jparker@afa.net with the Ten Commandments Pro-Life Speech as the subject line. If you need help in writing your speech, we're glad to assist you by phone. Call me, Pastor Joseph Parker, at 662-844-5036, extension 381. We're inviting people 18 and under to participate in this project. Speeches should be submitted by April 26th, 2022. Participants are encouraged to write, record, and send their video speech as soon as they have opportunity. The Ten Commandments Project Pro-Life Speech Contest includes these prize amounts. First place, $125. Second place, $90. Third place, $80. Fourth place, $60. Fifth place, $40. Additionally, every youth who participates receives a free Ten Commandment T-shirt. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're sharing about the Ten Commandments Project Speech, Pro-Life Speech Project. We'll be right back.
Sing.
Music from Mercy Me with the song Here With Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're sharing about the pro-life speech contest, which is a part of the Ten Commandments project that we're specifically rolling out the speech contest, the pro-life speech contest for. And so we're continuing to share this informational article, which, of course, if you email us at jparker@afa.net, we'll be glad to send the article that gives these details to you. Again, we're inviting people 18 and under to participate in the Ten Commandments Pro-Life Speech Project. Speeches should be submitted by April 26th, 2022. Participants are encouraged to write, record, and send their video speech as soon as they have an opportunity. The Ten Commandments Project Pro-Life Speech Contest prizes include this: first through fifth places. First place, $125. Second place, $90. Third place, $80. Fourth place, $60. Fifth place, $40. Additionally, every youth who participates receives a free Ten Commandments t-shirt. If a parent simply wants his or her child to learn the Ten Commandments and win a t-shirt, you can do that. Have your child memorize the Ten Commandments in short form as printed in this article. Then your child should recite the Ten Commandments out loud to you by memory. After your child successfully completes this, then give us a call. Let us know that he or she has recited the Ten Commandments to you. Give us the youth's t-shirt size and your mailing address so we can send it. The devil is behind the school shootings, abortion, youth dying from drugs, and or youth being incarcerated as they break other commandments and reap the consequences. Our children and youth desperately need to hear the gospel and to be discipled in the powerful word of God. If this project interests you and you and or your church family would like to carry this project out, AFA is interested in helping you and or your church to do just that. We can be reached at faq@afa.net or call Pastor Joseph Parker at 662-844-5036, extension 381. We hope to hear from you. Now, here's a further encouragement to you to seek to involve more youth in a project like the Ten Commandments Project. Please be mindful of these truths. Romans 1:16 tells us, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans again 1:16. There's power in the mighty word of God, the power to save and heal us, the power to set us free from the bondage of sin. Our children are being attacked from so many different directions by the kingdom of darkness. What is the answer? The answer is found in putting the most powerful weapon in the universe to work in their lives, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. It has been very encouraging to see how the Holy Spirit has begun to work in the lives of each of the children and youth as they've gotten involved in this speech project. As they have engaged themselves in the project in the past, the Word of God and the Spirit are clearly working in and upon their lives. Each speech was powerful, encouraging, and impactful for those who heard the youths as they have shared their speeches. The Lord is working beautifully and has worked beautifully in the lives of each participant that participated in the last project. There's time for you to help involve other children and youth as well. Please contact us if you're able to help us locate children and youth that wish to participate in the Ten Commandments Pro-Life Speech Contest. Again, the title of this article is Introducing the Pro-Life Speech Contest. Simply email me at jparker@afa.net, and we'll be glad to email you a copy of the article that carries the details of the project. We're going to take time now to listen to some of the speeches by some of the youth that participated in our last Ten Commandments speech project. And this first one is by a young lady by the name of Autumn, and we'll listen to a few more as well.
The commandment that means the most to me is honor your mother and father. It is important to honor your parents because it is pleasing to God. We have to listen to and obey them. We cannot be ugly or rude to them because that will not make God happy. We want to make sure that everything we do is pleasing to God. We have to do what we are told even when we don't want to. This is important because we want to make it to heaven. I will always do my best to honor my mama and my dad. I will even listen to other grown-ups as well.
In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, there we find the Ten Commandments. In verse 1 through 3, we are told, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of Bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." The very first commandment is in verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Very simply, the first commandment tells us to put God first before everything else. In life, people have many different priorities. For some people, certain things are important to them. For others, other matters are important or more important. The Word of God lets us know the Ten Commandments, that God is to be first in our lives. God is to be number one above everything else. Well, someone may want to ask a very real and thoughtful question. Why is it important that we put God first in our lives? I'm glad you asked. Allow me to share some wisdom of the matter. First, we should put God first before all else because he said so. He is God and we are supposed to obey his word. If God tells us to do something, we need to know that it is good for us. Every command in the word of God, when we hear and obey it, we will be blessed as we do it, as we do what it says. Also, when we put God first, life will begin to work better and better for us. When God is in first place in our lives, the rest of life can come together like it should. When God is not first place, nothing else will be right in the right place either. How do we as believers put God first in our lives? Let's look at a few other ways we can. First, a person needs to give his or her life to Christ. We must first get saved without having Christ in our lives, in your heart. And being saved, a person does not have the ability to put Christ first in his or her life. After a person gets saved, a believer should put God first by taking the time to pray every day and do it early in the day. If we decide to make time to pray, we put God first by seeking his help, his wisdom, and his power that can help us with challenges of life. And we can avoid making excuses such as, I am such a busy person, I don't have time to pray. Another way to put God first is to read God's word every day. To truly put God first in our lives, we need to listen to his wisdom every day. We can read God's word instead of spending most of our time reading other things, or watching TV, or spending much of our time on the internet. Also, we put God first when we obey the Word of God. As we read the Word of God and obey it, we put God first by choosing to do things His way rather than our own ways or the world's way. So disobedience is one way that we fail to put God first. Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 tells us, "Therefore, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of prophets." If we want to put God first, we will obey his word and be kind and thoughtful in our words, actions, and attitude towards others in a way that we would want someone to be to us. So obedience to the word of God is clearly one more way to put God first. Pray the Ten Commandments. Lord, thank you for this day. Help me this day to put you first in every way and in all that I do. Help me, Lord, to not make or have any graven images. Help me, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help me, Father, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Lord, help me this day to honor my father and mother. Lord, help me this day to not murder. Help me to not commit adultery. Help me to not steal. Help me, Lord, to tell the truth. Help me, Lord, to not covet. Well, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Exodus 20, verse 4 states, "Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens above, or on the earth below, or in the waters under the earth." We as humans have a built-in desire to worship something or someone. Your identity will then be tied to whatever you worship as number one in your life. Humans will worship. It's one of the characteristics God gave us when He created us. Whether it's Baal, Muhammad, or that sports team, that game, or that hobby. Another popular god people worship is themselves. They do whatever it is that pleases them the most, no matter what it does to other people. That is humanism in its simplest form. Now when chapter 20, verse 4 says idol, it is not strictly talking about an obscene statue with large lips. It is simply talking about a trade. The trade is the omnipotent, merciful, and loving God who loves you enough to send His one and only Son to the cross so that you could have an eternal relationship with you. You take that and practically throw it in the garbage for something as little as a sport, a game, or a hobby. So in other words, the sports team, the hobby, or the game is what is in control of you. So when your team loses, it takes your world with it. Then you're left with a bunch of brokenness and shattered pieces. But that's where grace comes in. For in 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Bible says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I'll most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me.'" 2 Corinthians 12:19. It doesn't matter how far gone you think you are not too far gone for Christ. That is a temptation that Satan loves to use on people. If you have fallen into this trap Satan has set, now is the time to rise up. God's love is chain-breaking if you'll put your trust in Him. You trade away God for something else every time you idolize something over God. You claim that thing that you have idolized over the Creator of the universe who loves you and wants a relationship with you. It doesn't make sense why anyone would want that. You substitute an idol in place of where God should be. In other words, another name for an idol is a God substitute. Let me warn you, that is not a fair trade. In fact, it is not even close to fair. Sadly, Satan tries his best to deceive people into thinking it is a fair trade, and many people do fall into that trap. Satan isn't smart. He has just been around people for a while. An idol can be made out of anything, even serving the Lord, to the point where you are no longer sharing God's word to win a brother, but to evangelize more people than someone else. Satan will do anything and everything in his power to make you believe that idols have exceptions. I'll give you a handful right now. Staying up late playing a video game could be an idol because then you aren't getting enough sleep, and when you wake up, you're tired and spend your quiet time asleep. Here's another one. How about, "I'll wait till I'm adult to read the Bible"? Why would anyone want to wait until they are an adult to talk to the Creator of the universe who loves you enough to send His own Son to die for you? It is very likely then that God is not number one in your life. If God was truly number one in your life, the issue would not be trying to talk to Him. The issue would be trying to stop talking to Him. A very common excuse is, "I don't have time to read the Bible." That doesn't hold water. You have time for what you want to have time for. If that means going to bed early so you aren't tired, then go to bed early. Let's keep it real here. Idols are not that hard to come by in America these days. We as Americans take lots of things as idols and have branched away from the path that leads to the narrow gate, but rather we are heading on the path that leads to the wide gate, which leads to destruction. America is not a godly place just because we have "In God We Trust" on all our coins. There are a lot of broken people in America in need of a Savior and in need of someone to tell them about that Savior. And a lot of times we as Christians get mad at God because He hasn't sent anyone to go and tell this broken world about Him. Well, I want you to know that He has. He created me and you. If it's not us, then who will it be? God is looking for someone to bless, someone to extend His lavish blessings upon, someone that will accomplish His will. The question is not, will His will be accomplished? The question is, will you be a part of it? God is not dependent on you to help Him be God. He is independent. He has no need of anything outside of Himself. Look at Exodus 3:14 as an example. But God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And He said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" We as humans are not independent beings. Unlike God, we have a need for food, water, sleep, and oxygen. We need God, but God does not need us. I hope and pray that I have clearly conveyed what the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to speak about.
Amen. Amen. Again, that was three speeches by three young people. The first speech was by Autumn, an 8-year-old young lady. The second was by London, a young lady that's 10. And the third one was by Landry. I believe Landry was around 12 or 13 years old. But all of them beautiful speeches, powerful speeches based on one of the Ten Commandments. Well, again, we're sharing and introducing to you specifically the Ten Commandments Pro-Life Speech Contest. And again, if you're wanting to get in touch with us to learn more information about it or get your children or young people involved, again, simply email me at my email, jparker@afa.net, again, or faq@afa.net, or the number 662-844-5036, extension 381. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Music from Planet Shakers, Heaven on Earth. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're introducing the Pro-Life Speech Contest, which is a part of the Ten Commandments Project, which is an ongoing children and youth discipleship project we've been involved with. And we're encouraging every believer listening to prayerfully consider getting your children or young people that you know or whose lives you touch, helping them to get involved with this project as well. So we see the whole gang there. They're excited that we're introducing the Pro-Life Speech Contest. Hope that you're getting excited like Pete and the rest of the gang as well. We're about to listen to a couple more speeches by two more young people. This next one is by a young man by the name of JD, and then followed by one by Isis.
In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, God plainly lays out what we call the Ten Commandments. Although God wrote his law on stone tablets, we see all over Scripture how the Lord has written his law on our hearts. Jeremiah 31:33 says, "For this is the command that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." This fact is even restated in the New Testament, in Hebrews 10:16. What does this mean? Well, it means that we all know right from wrong. Take, for example, the Ninth Commandment, bearing false witness, or as we call it today, lying. Lying is a horrible sin that breaks the relationship, disintegrates trust, etc. We must know that God sees lying about taking a cookie as bad as lying about whether you murdered someone or not. Lying is lying. There are no white lies to God. Speaking from experience, lying is not easy to stop on our own, but with God's help, we can. Let us remember that a lifestyle of lying is walking in darkness, and walking in darkness leads to hell. As John wrote in 1 John 1:6, he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So let's all practice truth-telling and walking in the light.
Hi, yes, thank you for having me. Today I have chosen to speak about the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. But first, I would like to give a brief recap on what the commandments are. The Ten Commandments are biblical rules that state the basic religion and moral idea of Judaism and Christianity. The Ten Commandments, according to the Bible, were given from God to the Israelite leader Moses on Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments were written on tablets by God for the Israelites. But as Moses came down from the mountain, he was in shock and utter disbelief that the Israelites were worshiping a golden calf. Enraged at the idol worship, Moses then smashed the tablets. But at God's command, he carved the commandments into other stone tablets. The Israelites then kept it in a wood ark. However, the Christian teachers believe God has stamped the commandments on the heart, mind, and souls of all human beings to remember what thus saith the Lord. The Ten Commandments appear twice in the Old Testament, in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17, and Deuteronomy 5, verses 6 through 21. The two versions differ slightly in grammar, but the message is still the same. The first group of the commandments deal with the duties towards God, and the second group concerns relation among persons. I have chosen to speak about the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, because to me it takes one out of life, and God wants us to live and prosper in this world. Thou shalt not murder is in reference to taking of innocent lives, not in reference to eating food. Even animals killed to eat and are killed to be eaten. This is just one of God's many designs. Thou shalt not murder is a commandment that God has given us to obey. It was intended to stress the fact that life is sacred, that God alone gives life, and that no individual has the right to arbitrarily take it from another person. The commandment refers to premeditated unjustified killing. What does unjustified mean? It means not shown to be right or reasonable. It means the taking of a life of an innocent person. God ordered righteous judgment on people whose corruption had led to extreme wickedness. God yet does not give man the right to take the law in his hand. In my conclusion, I believe if we as people would follow the rules set by God, we would not have auto murder, especially in our youth. Youth today needs more encouragement from their parents, teachers, and society. I have been told that it takes a village to raise a child. Parents need to get their basic instructions from the Word of God. Amen. Thank you.
Again, two beautiful speeches. The first one was by a young man by the name of J.D. I believe J.D. was about 10 years old. And Isis, I believe, is either 15 or 16. But all five of the speeches that we've shared were by young people that were blessed and encouraged simply by being a part of this important Ten Commandments project, specifically the Ten Commandments Speech Project. Well, again, we're encouraging you to prayerfully consider getting your children, grandchildren, or young people that you know involved in the Ten Commandments Pro-Life Speech Contest specifically. Again, the closing date is April 26, 2022, so you have plenty of time to help the young person in writing the speech and presenting the speech, getting a videotape of it to us. We look forward to receiving all the ones that we will receive. Now, keep in mind, parents, it's so important for us to understand this is simply a discipleship project, but it's a good way for them to get involved in a friendly and healthy competition, Christian competition that can both disciple them as well as challenge them all at once. I want to share with you from Deuteronomy chapter 6, wisdom from God's word, which reminds us of the importance of us walking with him, but also the very great importance of us being deliberate and committed to faithfully and diligently discipling our children. Deuteronomy 6, starting at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, a powerful reminder of the high priority we're to make in discipling our children. So again, to every parent listening, grandparent, or maybe uncle, aunt, or people, youth directors, people that work with young people, remember this: we live in a society that's trying to swallow our children alive. How important it is that we're very deliberate and very passionate about helping them to come to know Jesus Christ and then helping them to grow up in the Lord. God can use our children wonderfully and powerfully. Our job is to simply disciple them and help them to step up to be the disciples the Lord would have them to be. Read just a very touching story about God using young people. I'm going to share it very briefly. It's a true story. The little boy put on his clothes for the cold and then told his father, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready." His dad, the pastor, said, "Ready for what?" "Dad, it's time to go outside and distribute our flyers." Dad replied, "Son, it's very cold outside and it's drizzling." The child looked surprised at his father and said, "But Dad, people need to know about God even on rainy days." Dad replied, "Son, I'm not going outside in this weather." With despair, the child said, "Dad, can I go alone, please?" His father waited for a moment, then said, "Son, you can go. Here's the flyers. Be careful." "Thank you, Dad." And with this, the son went out into the rain. The 11-year-old walked all the streets of the village, handing out the flyers to the people he saw. After 2 hours walking in the rain and in the cold and with his last flyer in his hand, he stopped in a corner to see if he saw someone to give the flyer to, but the streets were totally deserted. Then he turned to the first house he saw, walked to the front door, touched the bell several times, and waited, but no one came out. Finally, the boy turned to leave, but something stopped him. The child turned back to the door and began to touch the bell and pound the door strongly with his knuckles. He kept waiting. Finally, the door was opened gently. A lady came out with a very sad look and gently asked, "What can I do for you, son?" With radiant eyes and a bright smile, the child said, "Lady, I'm sorry if I upset you, but I just want to tell you that God really loves you and that I came to give you my last flyer, which talks about God and his great love." The boy gave her the flyer. She just said, "Thank you, son. God bless you." Well, next Sunday morning, the pastor was in the pulpit, and when the service began, he asked, "Someone has a testimony of something they want to share?" Gently in the back row of the church, an older lady stood up. When she started talking, a radiant and glorious look sprouted from her eyes. "Nobody in this church knows me. I've never been here before. Even last Sunday, I was not a Christian. My husband died a while ago, leaving me totally alone in this world. Last Sunday was particularly cold and rainy, a particularly cold and rainy day, and it was also in my heart, and it was also heavy on my heart. On that day, I came to the end of the road, and since I had no hope, I didn't want to live anymore. Then I took a chair and a rope and went up to the attic of my house. I tied one end of the rope to the rafter of the roof. Then I climbed onto the chair and put the other end of the rope around my neck. I then stood on the chair so alone and heartbroken. I was about to throw myself off the chair when suddenly I heard the loud sound of the door being knocked. So I thought, I'll wait for a minute and whoever it is will go away. I waited and waited, but the door knocking was getting louder and louder every time. It got so loud that I couldn't ignore it anymore. So I wondered, who could it be? No one ever comes to my door or to visit me. I released the rope from my neck and went to the door while the bell was still ringing and the door was still being knocked on. When I opened the door, I couldn't believe what my eyes saw. In front of my door was the most radiant and angelic child I've ever seen. He smiled, and I can never describe his smile. The words that came out of his mouth made my heart, dead so long ago, come back to life when he said with the voice of a cherub, "Lady, I just want to tell you that God really loves you." When the little angel disappeared between the cold and the rain, I closed my door and read every word of the flyer. Then I went to the attic to remove the chair and rope. I didn't need them anymore. As you see, Now I'm a happy daughter of the king. As the direction of the boy, when he left, was to his church, I came personally to say thank you to that little angel of God who came just in time, and in fact to rescue my life from an eternity in hell and replaced it with an eternity in God's presence. Everyone in the church cried. The pastor came down from the pulpit to the first bench of the front where the little angel was sitting. He took his son in his arms and cried uncontrollably, "Don't let this message die of cold after reading it." God can use children and youth wonderfully, just like he can use adults as well. Well, again, a powerful and an encouraging truth for us all to remember. God does, and he wants to use children and youth to be important followers of him. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read your word and use it to disciple our children and to be disciples as well. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. Help us to be faithful disciples, and help us to be faithful to disciple our children and help them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been introducing to you the important project, the Pro-Life Speech Contest, which is a part of the Ten Commandments Project. Again, if you'd like to get more information or learn about it, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net or at faq@afa.net or the number 662-844-5036, extension 381. We hope to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time on the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.